I'm Yossi Salek, and I'm the host of Bandsplain, a show where we explain cult bands and iconic artists by going deep into their histories and discographies. We're back with a brand new season at our brand new home, the Ringer Podcast Network, tackling a whole new batch of artists, from grunge gods to power pop pioneers to new metal legends and many, many more. Listen to new episodes every Thursday, only on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
And I was just like, oh, he's got the touch of Dennis Bergkamp. And then after a few seconds, I was like, I mean, or Ian Wright.
Hi everybody, welcome to Writer's House. Hope you are all safe and well. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the Europa League, Crystal Palace parting ways with my dear friend Patrick Vieira, and we discuss some of our go-to good vibes films and music. And my guests are Mayowa Quadri and Ryan Hun. Whoop whoop. How you doing, fellas?
Right.
Good.
Okay. It's like a somber morning.
It is quite a somber morning because I went to the Arsenal game last night. Sporting Lisbon, well done. Can I just say?
I was gonna say such a shame that we have to start on a somber note for the good vibe show.
Yeah, but like, what I would say is, if I'm really totally honest, I'm not going to be one of the fans that say, "Yeah, anyway, we've got bigger fish to fry." So I'm not really worried about.
But
this.
You're going
to
say it.
I'd love to have gone through. I'd love to have gone through because I think that this team and what he's going to try and do, Mikel, they're going to have to get used to playing at this level. Hopefully the Champions League and in the Premier League for many years to come. So they have to get used to doing that and going deep in this kind of competition and in the Premier League. So of course I wanted to go through, but like I saw a lot of people last night when they're saying, yeah, at least now we can focus on the league. And I said, yeah, fair enough. We have got something else that we can think about because obviously the league is vitally important with 11 games to go, 11 cup finals,
23 cup finals.
We've got 23 cup finals. But like, but if we're going to think like positively, because you want to take something positive from it, is yeah, we have got something very, very important to focus on with these last 11 games. But with Sporting Lisbon, they played some really nice, intricate stuff. They kind of add our number a little bit there, you know, because we were going at them and I was thinking, well, how are they going to get through us? We're putting that pressure on. All of a sudden, they just got these very skillful, like Trincao and Ugarte. That guy. Honestly, is it Ugarte who got sent off in the end?
Yeah, Ugarte.
You know what I mean? Like, they are so good on the ball. And the way they broke into us. And Edwards, he should have done a lot better with a couple of the chances he had. So I was thinking to myself, yeah, that was a good test. That was a good test for what's coming.
I think this is a slight problem with Arsenal, where they're in this kind of middle ground in terms of Champions League depth that you need. So, for example, Sporting are probably one of the worst kind of teams you want to play against when you've made a load of changes, because Arsenal just don't have the creativity in the second string, let's say, to break teams down. Like, for example, when Martin Odegaard came on, you just noticed the difference straight away. They were really well organized, Sporting. Yeah. They kept it
dead fucking boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Apart from when they decided to ping one in from the halfway line.
Yes. The beautiful irony of where Arsenal are though for me, because Mikel was speaking about, I think it was midweek, saying that he knows where he wants the club to be eventually. Mm. And yes, they are a bit more along that journey than people expected. Mm. And you can see that in the team. So for me, for instance, when he recruited the likes of Vieira and Lokonga, you probably thought this team was going to be battling for top four, maybe in that just below fifth to sixth position and doing well in these sort of tournaments. Mm. However, you have a squad that is over-succeeding. And as you said, right, when you take those first team or first starters out of the fold, the drop-off is very different because ultimately, yeah, you've got a super exceeding team. And it's a weird scenario to deal with because that's not how he planned for this. And that's why the league is such an important one now. As you said, 11 cup finals, because you have to capitalize in this moment.
Mm.
Because next year, Arsenal will probably be in, they'll be in the fold again, potentially. Hopefully. But you have to make this moment work.
I think the thing you were saying about people dealing with or dealing with the disappointment this season, this happens whenever any clubs go out of any competitions. Yeah. But I feel like it's the goals change over the season, right? For example, you're seeing how the points deduction for Juve in Serie A has freed them up in the Europa League. I think they were a little bit lucky against Freiburg, to be honest, with the penalty stuff. But we're recording this ahead of the draw, so by the time you hear this, you'll know the draw. But for example, if Manchester United get Juve, that's probably the only one that they want to really, really avoid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Juve absolutely need to win the Europa League to qualify for the Champions League next year. Whereas Manchester United don't. So I feel like in this competition now with the prize of winning the Europa League, you kind of get caught out if you remotely half step.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You just don't have the space to do it.
Reminds me of you know that saying about you have to juggle as many balls as possible.
Yeah.
Don't let the glass ones drop. You can let the rubber ones drop. That's the situation so many teams are. For instance, Chelsea at the moment. I mean, a win against Everton will get 40 points. That's Premier League safety. Mm. You might as well go for the Champions League because there's nothing else left.
Chelsea fans in March being like, well, we've got our 40 points.
Premier League safety. And with Arsenal, yeah, of course it hurts. And of course, you know, momentum is everything. But it's one of those results, similar to the ones we spoke about when there was that three-game run where results weren't going great. You have to forget about it very quickly.
It is
where it is.
Yes,
and you need to get back on the horse and just keep going to the finish line.
And that's what they're going to need to do now. Because like I say, for future, they're going to need to be able to deal with disappointment. What I would say to that team now is, you know what I mean? Let's go again. It's ready to go again. Let's go.
Grind, don't stop.
Grind never stops.
Shout out to Man United because they cruised past Betis. But and I think it's...
Rashford!
I mean...
Where's all the memes? Where's all the memes and all the taking the mickey out of Rashford now, man? Where's the Man United fans when he's coming out the ground cussing him? Man's gone to another 27 goals.
Everyone's pointing at their head now.
Pointing, everyone's thinking. That's what
I can't wait for the string of... You remember when Keir Starmer took the knee in the office? And a load of Tory politicians just putting the point of...
Rashford. But like I'm very happy for him because it looks like Rashford has recognised what he's capable of doing and he's now doing it on a regular basis.
Amazing what some rest and actually being fully fit can do.
Absolutely.
Should we talk about some other bad news before we go?
We have to mention Patrick Vieira from Crystal Palace.
Patrick Vieira, he's become the first Premier League manager to lose his job on St. Patrick's Day.
That's wrong. If they could have waited a day.
Wow.
According to Opta.
They could have done it a day before. I think this is really disrespectful.
You don't like it?
Go on.
On St. Patrick's Day, I mean, I understand that
you're literally podding me, Owen. It's a pod.
You know, pod. But the thing is, that's got to be pure coincidence because no one's thinking, let's wait. No, let's wait.
Just give it a chance. Yeah. I think for me, I feel really sorry for Palace and there's a culmination of things that have happened here. Ultimately, one win in 17 games is very, very, very bad form. And at the bottom of the league now, we're probably seeing the closest relegation battle we've seen forever. I mean, it's 5 points between 12th and bottom. I think it's 3 points between 12th and 17th. It's really, really tight down there.
It's one of the tightest,
Can I just jump in, though? But since their last win...
They played the top seven.
Like, I'll read off.
That's what I'm saying.
Spurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Losing to Southampton at home is the one.
That's the one. That's
Chelsea
the one.
Away.
Yeah.
Man United at home. Newcastle at home. Manchester United away. Brighton at home. Brentford away. Liverpool. Villa away. Man City at home.
Yeah. They've played the top seven.
And then Brighton.
And that's why context is important. But I guess when you look at 2013 as a whole for them, people probably go, and for me, I often draw an example to Stoke a few years ago. Stoke were this Premier League team that always had Premier League security by hook or by crook. And then a few seasons later, what happened was, we're going to try and spice it up a little bit. I always call it, you sacrifice 3 or 4 points for the sake of playing better football. Roy Hodgson kept Palace in the league for 4 years consecutively. They weren't fun of football.
His favourite to take over the moment.
Literally, and he's like, he was like, you know, the Croydon man. He had done that. And with Vieira, what they did was try to step in a new direction. And, you know, they've had the academy set up, redone. They've had young players come in. And when Palace are at their best, it's beautiful to watch. When we saw them last season, it was great. But what's happened here is, it's the old thing of, when it starts to get squeaky bum time, people get scared. They get scared.
I think that what I would like to see with Palace now, unfortunately, they didn't have the patience with Patrick. And when you look at what happened with De Boer, they've recognized somewhere along the line, we have to change what we're doing. Mm. We don't, you know, then it didn't work. Bam, they switched straight back and went back and got Roy Hodgson. And then, you know, now they've got Patrick. And I think we saw in some instances last season what they could do, what they might be able to do. Mm. I think they're a half decent striker away. You know what? I'm not saying, we have to pluck out a striker from the top. If they had like that Brighton striker, Ferguson.
Mm. Yes.
You love Ferguson, didn't you?
I love him. If they had someone like him, old forward, and he's like 18, when I've seen bullying people about, I've seen him attack the box.
He's an absolute unit.
Right. If they had that kind of striker and they could like get Elise, Eze, and Zaha, you know, now that he's fit in that, they've got to get that kind of freeze and buzzing around a striker like that, that, you know, he might take 1 in 3 chances. Because there's not enough chances being made by players of that caliber. Mm. Not enough coming from their wing backs. You know what I mean? It's like there's so much going on. They haven't got enough, like Decore, you're hoping will eventually get to the holding midfield and that player like what we've got in Jorginho to pass the ball and control the game. But I think that the Gallagher loaning is an absolute killer for this Palace.
Right now, it's 6 point City. And I think ultimately, they've probably done it now, knowing that we are going into a period where each game is 6 points. They have got Leicester, Leeds, Southampton, Everton, Wolves. All of your relegation rivals, you're playing back to back to back. So they've probably thought, right, if we can get a new manager bounce or someone that just, you know, gets us to lock in, we may be safer. And I understand your point about them having enough quality, but it's so difficult. Leicester have enough quality. And they, you know, they won 3 games and then were terrible again. Mm. I think in order to stay safe right now, you have to go on a decent run.
Someone's got to score for Paddy.
They need goals, man. They need some goals, yeah.
I know we're speaking about Paddy, but when you look at a relegation battle and the need for goals, it was very different from your lived experience because you weren't having to score for survival. Do you think you would have been able to cope with that pressure?
Bro, it's a different... Honestly, Miowa, I think about it all the time. Even when I was playing, I was thinking, you're looking at guys down at the bottom having to score goals to save the team's, like, for the team's survival. To score goals to get to the next, to get to the final, or score goals in a final, or score goals because you need to win this game because you're at the top of the league. It's a different energy, what I'm thinking, to having to go into a game, you're preparing for the game all week as a striker, and you're going to miss chances so that people can say, yeah, but look how many chances Ian Wright missed. If he scored some of those chances, we wouldn't even be in a relegation battle. And then you're in a game, a relegation battle, you get into 90 minutes, you go through on goal, and you can feel it, the crowd saying, you're not even going to score. And then you don't score. You're thinking about that leading into that game.
No, that's not nice.
You know what I mean? You're thinking about, so all of a sudden, you're having to finish like from a mental aspect, like you've got to go to a place where you've not been. And then you throw in the fact that we might get relegated if I don't score these goals. I wouldn't be able to, I don't know how I would deal with that.
It's a lot of pressure, man.
Massive amount of pressure. It's a lot easier when you're trying to chip goalkeepers when you're 2-0 up, bro, and you've got Tony Adams and Steve Bone, Lee Dixon, Nigel Whitworth, Dave Seaman. You're going to chip. And back heel and everything,
just
bro.
Just play with Dennis Bergkamp.
You know what I mean? You can do them for, you can take liberties, bro.
But... Side point, the other day, I can't remember what we were doing the other day, but I was just like, oh, man. Like, oh, it was when we were playing golf. And I was just like, oh, he's got the touch of Dennis Bergkamp. And then after a few seconds, I was like, I mean, or Ian Wright. It's like, I don't know why I just name checked the guy that literally played with instead of you.
Was that when I done one of my unbelievable putts?
It was a great putt.
It was a really good putt.
But we're not talking, we're not doing golf.
It's not Wright's clubhouse.
You're not Wright's clubhouse. Just a round of palace. I just hope that, you know, because I'm gutted to see Patrick go. You know, I'm gutted to see him go because you want to see, I think the same with Nice, just quickly. Mm-hmm. He had a problem with the creativity and the creation stuff. So you're hoping that someone on the line, maybe this break, what he has, will give him that time so as he can think about, right, what did I do wrong there? So as he can get that right. Because I just, you know, he's my friend and I just want him to succeed. And I want him to succeed at Palace.
Yeah.
I wanted him to succeed at Palace. That's the way it goes, bro.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner, to learn more. Baseball is something else.
So you and I had a conversation this week.
We had a kind of, a good vibes conversation.
When the vibes aren't quite right, what do you go to for...
Going to put you straight in.
So it's either music a lot of the time, or maybe some films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was sparked by something you said to me when you were just like, oh, these are the kind of films I go to. Mm. So we thought we would talk a little bit about some films that are our go-to or some music that is our go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And we also asked for people to submit their own. So we'll read out some.
Yeah, let's read some out.
There was a surprising amount of yacht rock coming in. From a lot of like Hall & Oates and stuff like that. From you know, people. Doobie Brothers.
Yeah,
I was like,
man.
Didn't know the Righteous House crew was such a big yacht rock. Like,
yeah, bring it, man. I'm going to take some of those because like, it's like, again, when you're driving along, like for instance, that is a tune, bro. That is so good. It's like when you're driving along sometimes, but sometimes I turn the radio off.
Yeah.
You know, I turn the radio off because I just said, but then sometimes you just want something that takes you straight to the place.
Yeah.
Straight to the place you want to go. And it's the same when I'm at home with a certain film, when I've got time, when Nancy and the girls are doing whatever they're doing or they've gone somewhere on a house on my own. I just go to the film where, you know, it takes you on that nice journey and it's a wonderful ending and you feel good because it's a feel-good feeling. It makes you feel good. So that's why I kind of threw in some cool stuff.
But shout out Scotty Bizzle who said,
yes, Scotty
yacht rock, more of an American thing, bit of a late 70s / early 80s chill vibes, on a boat, rock, Key Largo, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. He says, my wife was actually named after this song.
You're joking. Oh, wow.
Summer Breeze.
Summer Breeze.
It's on there. Steal Away and anything Michael McDonald sings back up on.
Oh, woo, my God. It's true. No, but that his voice. McDonald's voice. Jesus.
Yeah. It's like spreadable butter.
It's beautiful.
Because you don't have to wait for it to fuck around.
Easy spreadable as well.
Straight out the fridge. It's just like, you know, they're like warming it up.
Just open the fridge door.
I love that. Yeah. Who's that from Biz? Who's that from?
Scotty Biz.
Scotty Biz, man. Respect for that, Scotty Biz.
I had Summer Breeze, as you, brother.
Did you have it?
Yeah. Just for the beginning. Literally for the whole song, but the instrumentation.
But that's the...
Come on, man.
This is vibes, bro. This is like summer, you know? This is like a rum punch with loads of ice and just sun just hanging there. And it's the latter stages of the evening, you know, where it's calming down because that's when you want to hear this kind of tune.
No, 100%.
With me, it's the start of the tune. Can you play this one, Bri?
Yeah.
Just blast in this one. This is my first one here. because it's all about.
Is it Maxwell?
Yes, please.
Oh,
and the start, right? Because you want tunes. I know the people are feeling that already. I don't even need to.
Is this going to be like Desert Island Discs without the tears?
No. This is just like, this is our only good vibes. This isn't, the Desert Island Discs snuck up on me.
That was completely unnecessary shots fired. I'm so sorry, man.
It's absolutely unnecessary shots fired, man. Because you just, that's why, none of those tunes will probably be in it, except one. There's only one that's in there. Do you see what I'm saying about what, like, if you need something that takes you straight to vibes?
Yeah.
Because the start of that song, and a lot of that with me, is obviously it's the start of songs and it's the end in a film and the journey and then the end. To a point where I need to know that the film's going to have a happy ending.
Mm.
Because sometimes you watch a film and it is open-ended and you feel like, and I feel like, I want to watch a film. I know that we're trying to make things real and like think and you think deeply about it afterwards and that, but take me into that world. I'm going into that make-believe world. Make me happy at the end of the film.
Do you want to do a tune?
You know, I want to do a tune. I want to do my Frankie Beverly.
Oh.
Because again, it's the start.
Oh.
Whoa. And then bam, you're away. Yeah, you're away in the dance. You're gone. Yeah. That, and then you see that guitar. You see that rhythm guitar and that.
Music, man. There was something about that time of music where all you needed was great instrumentation, one ad lib.
Mm.
That's it.
That's it. Bam.
That's it. Don't need anything else. And then leave like 5 minutes at the end of the tune. When you finish saying everything you want to say,
yes.
Just let the tune run.
Let the tune run out. When I was younger, I remember the tunes and obviously it's disco and stuff. Always clubbing. But like something like Patrice Rushen with
Haven't You Heard?
Have you seen the intro to that? It's so long. It's just like, it's brilliant. And her voice comes in.
You picked the Kirk, was it the Kirk Franklin jam that samples that, right?
But the thing with that one, that's because that's my one. My mum used to love that as well. Because,
I'll play it.
I like the start of it. Make sure they hear the start. Pain medicine. Go to the start again.
They will.
Yeah. I love it because when it starts, it just says, all the people in the struggle, here's some pain medicine for you.
Do you know what you should do? Actually, from the Stadio account, shall I post all these as a playlist?
So yeah, man, so people can hear them. So they can see the vibe.
We'll do it from the Stadio account and we'll post it. We'll post the Spotify playlist underneath.
On the tunes. Just let me know as well. And as I said, just let me know if, in respect of the songs that I chose in that, what I'm talking about is the uplifting vibe.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, can I play one of my disco ones?
Of course,
it's one of my all-time favorite disco tunes. I think I sent it to you a while back. Esteban, Come to Me.
Honestly.
Oh, Esteban. It's so good. Oh my God. Just instant vibes.
That's what you want. And again, this is why music and film, and that's so important for us in respects of escapism and trying to find something that kind of like centers you again, makes you, because there's so much stuff. There's so much stuff to read, so much stuff that people are telling you, so much stuff that people want you to adhere to. And, you know, sometimes you can just watch a film. It just like lines you up again.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, so you just say, you know something, I'm just going to go my way. I'm going to go my way and try and just try and be, bro.
It's just positive reinforcement. Yeah, man. It's like the world tells you so many bad things are going on, like, you know, so many bad vibes. And then sometimes you watch something and it's like, no, I feel good about myself. One of the tunes I had in there was Aloe Black, I'm the Man.
Oh,
that's a proper, like, you know what? Maybe I am the man. Maybe I'm not a scrub.
You know,
maybe the cost of living crisis isn't getting me down. Like, maybe I can survive. It's just, again, just the beginning of the tune, just it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he comes in with this husky.
Aloe Black, man. Do you know what? Beautiful.
I'm good to go.
All right, I'm gonna go with a tune. But can we do? Can I go Over and Over by Sylvester?
Over.
One of my all-time GOAT disco tunes.
Do you know what I love about music from this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just imagine the studio sessions.
Yeah, I mean, it was all recorded live. Like, you can hear it in the studio.
Everyone's in there and they're just having a good time. There's no like. You don't overthink the music. Just feel the music. Feel the vibes.
But let me see disco. Let me see what disco I've got. Because I've got, this is my disco one to go to. Gwen
McRae, Keep the Fire Burning. Oh, it's a classic.
Come on, man. If you're going, you got to go there so you can dance, man. If I had to dance to that one you just played, I'd be tired.
Two-step.
Listen to this.
All
yes,
time.
I can, Gwen. I can feel it all right. Jesus Christ, Gwen.
Gwen McRae, Keep the Fire Burning is an all-time classic.
I would not be able to not move to this.
No.
Listen to it. It's beautiful. Listen to the intro and everything. this is my vibe. Good keys. And you can you imagine those cool old guys as well? They'll be in there like
that's
that.
It, man. In another cool. life, I was a bassist in a really, wow, really good band.
Wow, could you imagine bassists? <'Cause> the bassists, what I love about the bassists is that you see, they always seem to be the guy that they do their stuff, pack their stuff away, and they can ease out with the crowd. No problem.
It's the Busquets role. It just keeps everything together. Like, yes. The drummer can go off, but it's just there.
When Chelsea signed Enzo Fernandez and everyone was talking about what kind of player is, I called him a bassist.
He's a bassist,
He's a bassist.
You and Moose have got to do one. What players would be?
What instruments?
What instruments to play? Yeah.
That's a really nice episode.
Well, we'll save it when we come and do a writer's house.
Yeah, man.
There you go. I really struggled to pick the films because
films came like that.
I was just like, right, if I want to watch a film, it's usually to go for good vibes. It's usually familiarity. It's not necessarily a happy movie, like you said. And I wrote a few, and I was just like, yeah, Dunkirk's quite a sad movie, actually, right?
Fucking hell, Ryan. I thought he was going to say saving Private fucking Ryan or something. Jesus. That's why
probably not a good vibe. But the reason is, I think it's because you've seen it so many times, right? You're like, I think it's more of a, like, I really love the way that they do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, the three different time structures and they overlap and you repeat it. So actually, like, it's not a comedy, right? At all. But it's a really, I don't know, I find it like a nice viewing experience. Yeah. Does that make sense?
I tell you,
I was just like, I can't put films like that in there because people are going to think I'm a fucking...
No, put the films in. Like
No Vibes Ride. That's what they're going
to
call me.
My main films, when I was younger, I used to go very Godfather-y, very Scarface-y, very like that kind of, you know, Once Upon a Time in America vibe. But as I've got older than that, the film that I can not get over and have to watch at some stage, at least once a year, twice maybe, is Shawshank Redemption, because the actual journey of the film, the way it ends for him, the way it ends for the people, the way, you know, Morgan Freeman in it, everything. It was just an unbelievable film set in this prison. And I hate prison films. I don't like prison films. I remember watching this and they're talking about this script was in Hollywood for going around for 10, 12 years or something. People saying it's one of the greatest scripts ever, but honestly, it's for me, the journey is magnificent. And it was the kind of thing when I first saw it, thinking, how is this going to end? Do you know what I mean? And then obviously for me...
On the beach.
In the end, and it's not like...
You know, spoiler alert for Shawshank. I think
don't do no spoiler alert for Shawshank. Anybody who's not seen Shawshank now, really? Really?
What's that thing where you can't do anything after a amount of time?
Embargo.
No. When it's like, oh shit, what's it called? Statue of Limitations.
Yay!
Okay. Yeah, so it's like, I think the spoiler alert for that is past the statute of limitations, right?
Yes, I think so.
When did Shawshank come out? Like, okay, it's been 19 years.
19 years.
Oh my gosh.
It hasn't. It's been 29 years. What the hell am I talking about?
Yeah, the film's older than
1994.
I think that could be one of the greatest films ever, easily. I think that's one of the best films ever. Mm. You know what I mean?
Ever.
I think so. But what it means to me, obviously everybody's got their own film, but what that film means to me in the journey that guy goes on, an innocent man, goes on, and what you sometimes have to go through in life, and then what you have to try and... It's a very, very uplifting film. Mm. Unbelievably uplifting. All the films what I chose are uplifting for me.
Do you want to round off a couple more?
Should I tell you? So,
I think we need to talk about your big one, because there's a big one in here. There's a big one that made an appearance early on in a Writer's House episode and went down in Writer's House legend.
Mm. Should I tell them what it is?
I mean, it's on the picture.
Yeah. Shrek Forever After. Mayo, I want you to watch it with the boys.
Yes,
this
sir.
Film, you have to watch it. This is
homework.
About homework. and I will be doing an exam.
Okay, can we talk about Shrek Forever After? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we've flirted with the idea of getting a deep dive on why Ian Wright loves Shrek Forever After. Mm-hmm. Probably since episode like 8. And we've never really done it. So I'd like to delve into this a little bit. And if it means that we don't cover all of our tunes or all of our movies,
that's fine.
I'm fine with that.
We'll do it another time. Say with Shrek Forever After, because I love the kids' films. Me and my girls have watched everything. We've seen everything to the point where I'll just say to them, hey, let's watch a film. And then I'll go, Cars! And they go, oh God, no. Then I say, Shrek! Oh God, we've watched
all
everything. But I remember this Shrek Forever After is obviously Shrek, maybe the third one in, I think. And so Shrek's with Fiona, he's got the kids now. and is going through monotony. It's the same thing over and over every again. Day.
Yeah.
To the point where, and you know what I love? I swear to God, you know what I love about Shrek? It's the way that they intertwine the characters. All of a sudden, Rumpelstiltskin's on the floor, bro. Rumpelstiltskin can't get no work nowhere, bro. Absolutely on the floor, Rumpelstiltskin. Even in the film, he's behind there, around dustbins, man. Rumpelstiltskin's around dustbins trying to find, man needs a break. And so Shrek's in the party. I'm doing a massive spoiler here.
No, you're not. I think you're good for Shrek Forever After.
The thing is, guys and girls, is that Shrek's doing the same thing every day. He's waking up. He's going out. He's having a shower. He's trying to have a bath. He's having to take the kids out. He's having to feed the kids. The kids are making noise. The missus is doing this. And it's just the same thing. Then the tour bus comes around and they say, hey, Shrek. So he doesn't feel like what he was, an ogre that frightens people.
Mm.
So he goes to the party. He goes crazy in the party, walks out. And then, you know what I mean? Him and Fiona are arguing. Rumpelstiltskin's behind the dustbins listening to them. Rumpelstiltskin's got a plan, man. So when Shrek walks off, and this is what I love about it, is that you don't appreciate what you've got until you are losing it or you've lost it.
Facts on facts.
And that is what this film is about. You know, Rumpelstiltskin is like tricking him into saying, nah, I could give you a wish. I'll give you one day. You just have to give me one day back. And Rumpelstiltskin was a G gangster in this film. But the story is how the journey he goes through to realize how much he loves his missus, how much he loves his kids, how much he loves the life he has, how much the fact that, yes, we change. I don't have to be an ogre frightening people and doing all that stuff.
But I appreciate what I have.
But I appreciate what I have. And the journey he goes on, you know, and then he sees that, you know, you must watch it. The journey he goes on, then he has to meet his missus, then his missus has to fall back in love with him because he has to kiss her at a certain time. Otherwise. And so,
I've seen it,
You know, and the thing with it is that it's all along that journey, all that does is makes me realize how much I love my missus, love my kids, love everything that's happening around me. And that is what that film does for me. I can watch that film and it kind of reaffirms everything that's brilliant for me.
Oh my God. That's beautiful, man. Hey, do you know what happens in the next Shrek movie?
What?
Shrek gets a podcast.
What, with Donkey?
Oh my God, how good would that be? But then you have to bring people in.
Fucking pussy, who's producing it?
You have to bring in Gingerbread Man. You have to bring in Gingy Man because Gingy's always vexed.
Gingerbread Man is 100% the engineer.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Let's shout out a couple of people over here because there was... I can't believe we just had a 10-minute breakdown.
Oh my God, of Shrek Forever After.
Joe Patch
What's
says...
Joe Patch saying? Yes, Joe Patch. Big up, Joe Patch.
You're going to be friends with Joe after this one. Can't recommend Puss in Boots 2, The Last Wish enough.
It's brilliant. Antonio Banderas, magnificent Selma Hayek. It's fantastic. And the concept of the lives. Again, in respects of, you've got one life. Obviously, they say Cat's got 9 lives. You've got one life. So what it does in the end, it makes him realize for everything you're doing, you're not chasing, you're chasing more lives. Do the best you can with the one you've got.
Yeah.
And this is what I love about these films because they're giving kids insight into life.
Mm, real lessons.
Real lessons.
And the parents
this
as well.
This amazing. It's
like,
amazing.
Do you know what? It's like Wall-E. Wall-E was in one of my selections.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the opening half of that film, there's no dialogue whatsoever. And it's all like, mannerisms, sounds, and there's without going too nerdy, but there's an extra on the Blu-ray or whatever, which is I think it's Ben Burtt who did the sound design for it,
And he's a genius. He invented the lightsaber sound.
Right.
And it was really interesting seeing that stuff without wanting to go too nerdy, because you're essentially creating a language between two robots. With mannerisms and sounds.
Yes.
And I totally got it. And I feel like this is what I was saying before about when I need good vibes, it's not necessarily mega happy movies, it's more familiarity you're watching things because you know that you love the scenes and stuff, and there's so much stuff in that movie that makes me like howl with laughter, because it's just,
it's so good,
and it might be the most clever sort of thing. Like, for example,
but that's
when
why
he gets,
silent movies worked in back in the day, because like,
like when Wally gets in the little pod when Eve's trying to send him away and he just sits there and he's looking around and he just taps the seat next to him. He's like, bro, you have no idea what's happening.
These
right now.
These people just...
You're getting played. Wally's getting played. Get out of there, Wally.
And you know what? That's what I'm saying. But again, that's another one. I probably will watch Wally at some stage. But you know, it's one of those where I need to be... No football, no stuff. So I'm kind of on holiday.
You can just lock in.
Yeah, lock into that. Because those are... I love going into those films, because that's what the films are for. To make you feel good about yourself and about things, instead of the shit what's going on in the real world some of the times, what we focus too much on. And these films, especially that, so clever.
So clever.
I've got a little... It's called The Terminal.
Tom Hanks. When he kind of has to basically live in the terminal.
He has to live in the airport because he can't go back because there's a military coup and he gets denied access to America. But it's so amazing because it's actually partly inspired by a real story that happened in France.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's great because, you know, when you're watching a film and you see all of the themes that are building about, you know, he has a love interest that he should have no interest in having love interest in. He makes friends with people that he would never ever made friends with. He's learning to communicate with people that he typically wouldn't communicate with before, and he's educating them about the struggles he went through. And it has a really happy ending as well. I really love The Terminal.
Yeah.
Really,
I've not watched The Terminal.
Oh, you should give it a watch.
I think, you see, with Tom Hanks as well, a legendary actor.
Yeah.
It's like, I Forrest Gump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you had Forrest Gump on your list.
Yeah, I had to have Forrest Gump. Because, again, a story of people... Don't underestimate people and what people may be able to do and what they're capable of doing. Never underestimate people. That film, Life is Like a Box of Chocolates, you never know when you're going to get out. It was so poetic and brilliant, that film, in the way it was, and how his mum was, how he was. And I just love the fact that he ended up a billion squillionaire because, you know, just for being, let's face it, nice.
Yeah.
And just normal.
Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, Lieutenant Dan. One of the greatest scenes was when Lieutenant Dan was having his fight with God out there.
Lieutenant Dan.
Man, what a scene. I'm in my house when Lieutenant Dan's up there laughing at God. Is that all you got? Is that all you got? Again, a film that I even now, just thinking about it,
it makes
me feel very, very buzzed and charged and gassed, man, because like it's inspirational. The film itself was an unbelievable concept for a film.
Yeah.
To have somebody that people would probably ridicule. This is why when he met his son and all he wanted to know was, is he smart?
Yeah. Hold it together, bro. I got you. Can I shout out Cesar Gonzalez? Because Cesar's picked a couple of things that I would have put in here. So one of my selections, The Big Lebowski.
Oh, come on.
The Big Lebowski is...
Jeez, what a
instant vibes.
It is.
Shut up, Donnie!
Can I say, John Goodman in that is... I love the way he is in that. Yeah, I love the way he is. And obviously, our guy, Jesus.
John Turturro.
John Turturro.
Oh, legend. Nobody fucks with the Hazels.
The Hazels.
Do you remember that meme? Let's let people behind the curtain a little bit. In the Writers House WhatsApp group, everyone was slagging off the Bundesliga, right? And whenever that happens, I feel like fucking that gif of Jon Snow in Battle of the Bastards where he's just like, pulls the sword out and everyone's running towards me. And I made a little thing of Hazels from this movie. But instead of nobody fucks with the Hazels, it says, nobody fucks with the Bundesliga.
We should use that. We should use that. You know that gif? Have you seen the one where the guy's just in the garden, just slapping everybody? Ryan, we should say this is the Writer's House when we diss the Bundesliga.
But the thing is, I know that no one actually means it. Like, honestly,
so easy to get in, bro.
It's not though. It's not because I know
all you need
what
you're to doing. Write in there is a dead league, dead league. Ryan, I know what you're doing.
Buying one league again.
Right, so you went with Big Lebowski. And man, just what else you got?
Cesar also picked. I want to talk about the Big Lebowski.
Go on, then, go on.
He also picked Some Like It Hot, The Thin Man, and music-wise, 70s salsa, for example, like Fania All Stars, amazing. 50s mambo, like Tito Puente, Tito Rodriguez,
love it.
And then he put Common, Dilla, Tribal Quest.
Ooh,
so bro, like Dilla, Tribal Quest, some call it like Common actually sample Bobby Caldwell.
Put a heart on it. Yes. Put a heart on that for us. Right.
So Cesar, if you're listening to this now and you see a like, it happened
now. We love you, Cesar. That's some awesome stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, Bobby Big Lebowski. Caldwell. I actually rewatched it recently again, and Jeff Bridges, all time performance. John Goodman, all time performance. Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. I love the way that the guys are all different shapes and sizes. Guys just felt like they were just normal guys just going about. It was just, again, one of those films that probably definitely wasn't massive budget, but like you've just got a load of actors, top actors, that you're able to bring into a project, let them see what the project is and let them go with that.
Do you know how good this movie is? We've been talking about it for 5 minutes. We haven't even mentioned Julianne Moore or Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh my God, Philip Seymour Hoffman, rest in peace.
It's just a fucking unbelievable movie. And basically, the whole premise of the movie is he just wants his rug back.
Yeah. Unbelievable, isn't it? You almost forget that bit.
But that's the thing, though. Like,
he just wants his rug back.
Most great films have a very, very simple concept. Yeah. Simple concept. And there's just loads of layers to it.
I just love the fact that they probably would have sold that to them. And you read that script as an actor. And you're not, it's not about money. It's about, yeah, man, this is the character. I could do this character. And literally, you look at all of those guys in their roles and they've done their characters to perfection.
Let's do...
Really appreciate people getting involved in this as well, man. It's cool.
Casey Evans.
What's Casey saying?
Casey comes straight in. Paddington 1 and 2.
Wow.
The Doppelpack. Or if Casey's in the mood for some easy action, do you know what? Easy Action is a fucking great yacht rock band name.
It's a great name.
Should we start again?
Easy action. Yeah, it's a good sound.
If Casey's in the mood for some easy action, John Wick, Die Hard, Commando. All right, quick question.
Which
Die Hard? Is it a Christmas movie? Yes or no?
Yes. It's his own segment of Christmas movie. That's the greatness of it.
Probably, I'd probably say yeah.
On his own island.
it's really weird, huh? It's really strange, yeah. But I go as a Christmas
movie. Is it like, I'm trying to think, is it like, it's like Prince. No one can touch Prince. Yeah, Prince is on an island. Like Die Hard is like, Prince doesn't belong to any genre. It's just true.
It's
Prince.
Just Prince.
You know, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? So what about, can we say, is Armageddon a Christmas movie? Me and my girls watch Armageddon, and it's just because of the storyline. Mm. It's because of the storyline of Armageddon.
I want to do a quick callback because you mentioned Prince.
Mm.
And Prince has to be the epitome of good vibes. Even in the sad songs, like When Doves Cry, like... Dung! Yeah, like, what do you mean? Wheel!
Bring it back. He's the Reload King. It's like,
I
remember we was at.
Should we roll some Prince quickly? Yeah, this is
I would die for you. I lie if you want me to live. You know, me and my missus went to O2 and like he was doing his stuff. So he got his little piano out. It's just over on the side there. So he's doing his stuff and you know, he just like goes from one side to another. So cool. And then he goes over there and then he just started to go through all his great songs.
It's just...
And just do snippets of them, sing a little bit. Everybody's going crazy. Everybody starts singing and then he just got up and he says, I got too much hit.
And for me, honestly, what always stands out is, I don't think he'll ever be topped, the Super Bowl performance. Yeah. It's like, he performed Purple Rain and it rained. Oh. It's like, God said,
this is too much. Have some of this, man.
There was a moment last night at the Arsenal game where it rained so much and there was like pre-all waterfalls coming around. And there was a point where I was just like, all right, a couple more movies from you.
Okay, so.
You got two more movies.
I'm going to tell you know what film I absolutely adore is Jerry Maguire. Jerry Maguire with Tom Cruise and my guy, Cuba Gooding Jr. And again, it's the story. It's the story of...
Grind out, stop, mentality.
Show it away!
It's having faith.
And louder,
having
to, louder.
Show it away! Honestly, show me the money. But what
It's just the way that he believed in something.
Mm.
And what he believed in was right. But at the end of the day, the industry he was in was all consumed. It's all about money. It's all about the best. It's all about this. It's not about finding somebody, nurturing somebody, knowing that you recognize, yes, that player, that person's got talent. They've got it. I've got to shape that person. I've got to make that person what I believe it can be. And he's all I've got and I'm all he's got.
Yeah.
Everything that was in that film for him to get over it and get through it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Again, it's a film that makes you feel good. You know what I mean? At the end of it, you know, the one thing I don't like about the end of it is like when Tom Cruise and Cuba Gooding doing it at the end, when he's doing that interview and he does that thing and then the other agent tries to go to his guy to give him that hug, that awkward hug, and he goes, move away from me.
Yeah.
Didn't need it.
Yeah.
Didn't need that bit because like the moment was there with what these guys
keep
are being.
Beautiful, yeah. Keep
kept, it beautiful. Should have kept that beautiful, but.
Just show me the money part. That's me like when I'm sending off invoices. To fans that don't want to pay me within fake dates. Like, show me the money. It's like, show me. Email title, show me the money. Invoice attached, best regards. Kind regards. All right, Emily Oram says films: Last Crusade, Jurassic Park, Home Alone.
Which Jurassic Park?
I'm going to go OG. I reckon OG. OG is a good movie. It's a good. I think it's my favorite Jurassic Park. The first one.
The OG.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Home Alone, West Side Story. Emily says yes. I know it ends tragically, but America, dance at the gym, the dresses.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's West Side Story. It's Romeo and Juliet. It's a tragic story, but it's an amazing story.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
But like,
again, I watched that with the girls, West Side Story. They absolutely loved it. Amazing film. Brilliant. Who's that, Emily?
Emily also said, songs, currently, Age of Consent by New Order, most 70s disco, and Same Old Scene by Roxy Music. You're a Roxy Music fan.
Yeah, man. You know who I used to like as well? It's Tainted Love, Soft Cell.
Do you know the original, though? The Gloria Jones one? Like a Northern Soul tune.
No, I didn't know.
Can we roll this?
Find it, yeah.
Whoa! Will.
Bring it back. Will. Tie it back. Oh, mate, I love it.
You've never heard that?
No, I've never heard that either. That is proper.
And should I put that in the vibe?
Put that in there,
If we're doing like originals of tunes, we have to give one up for Bobby. Our Bobby, that's past. The king of white
Bobby
soul.
Caldwell, Bobby's gone. Come on.
So good. So good.
Should we put that in there as well? Live good vibe selection.
Oh, man.
This is a very chaotic show, but I love it.
Jeez.
I love it.
Who else we got?
All right, a couple more. Erin Blanche said, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. I ruined my voice singing along to it. Now,
yes. Beautiful.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. The Inner Life version of this, the disco one that came out of Southside, is my personal favorite. Mm-hmm. But
that's a beauty. That's a beauty, yeah.
Phil, Hall & Oates.
Mm.
Movies, Chuck, A Knight's Tale, or any Wes Anderson movie. AFC Lupin says, the Indiana Jones films.
I like the Temple of Doom.
Kaz Ford, long-time listener Kaz, she said, movie, Fever Pitch. I think Kaz is a gooner.
Yeah, I think she might be.
Song, Chesney Hawks, One and Only.
Did you see
the World Cup?
Did you see where he was at the side of the pitch and he came? And he's doing it at the side of the pitch. So, then we done an interview with him afterwards. I was really pleased to see him because, like, I loved Chesney when he first came. He was One and Only.
Loads and loads of Hall & Oates.
Yeah, man.
Lots of Paddington. Some Gangstar. There's a lot, but we can't go through all of them. But thanks everyone for getting. If you want to find out more recommendations or see what the Writers House crew are listening to or listeners are listening to, just go into the reply to the original tweet and you maybe can find some stuff.
Shall I do my last film?
One more.
Groundhog Day. Bill Murray. I loved that film.
It's a good film.
I thought Groundhog Day was one of those that when I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, can you imagine? And still, one of the things that I always think about with it, Maze, is how long would he have been replaying that day?
Over and over again.
When you look at what he changed, what he was before, and how horrible he was, how arrogant, and he's just a horrible person before. And he goes to Puxatawney, and like, you know, he has the same day over and over again. And again, it's for me, I've watched these films, and I always try to put myself in the situation of the film and say, Jesus Christ, what would I have done? Because you're going to wake up again and you're going to do this day again for forever. You don't know when it's going to end. And obviously it's going to end when you become a better person. So it's when you, because of the start, he started robbing banks and stuff, you know, doing this normal stupid stuff that you do if you find yourself in that position. But then you realize there's more to it. You've got to be more substance. You're going to be, have to be a better man. You're going to have to be a better person. You can't just come in with your foolish vibe and your over, your ego and all that stuff, and it happens. So he got that day over and over again until he became a good man.
There's a film to write his films. You notice, like, it's all about, like, how can I be a better man? I like it. Self-improvement. Good vibes.
Gross, man.
Yeah.
So write his house. Ian's,
write his movies.
Ian's movies. Shawshank Redemption, Shrek Forever After, Forrest Rick. Gump, Jerry Maguire, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
That's solid.
I love that. That's a good list.
It's very good.
That was good. Write his house film club.
That'll give you a lift.
Have you got any more movies, Mo, you want to shout out?
I had Black Panther.
Yes. Yes.
Black Panthers, yeah, that's groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's just a celebration of culture for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just thought, imagine little kids that have grown up in the age where they're sort of told that you have to be like this and that. And then you go and watch this thing and it's like, oh my gosh, this is about me. This is what I see at home. I can't imagine how empowering that would have been.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, beautiful film.
I think, yeah, film. Without going too deep in that, because there's some people, and I don't think it's our listeners are other people who would say stuff like that, but like, it, to see a black film like that, a black film, and we're talking about excellence. You're seeing black excellence, you know, without being too, like, you know, in your face to people. It's something that you don't realize how inspirational that is.
Yeah.
It's so inspiring to see people that you are great for doing great things.
I think that's the thing from, you know, I'm a straight white guy. We haven't really had a shortage of straight white dudes on TV and film and music and in high up positions. But I think that what people of like my demographic or a similar demographic, because they're so used to it, they don't understand the power of the whole, like, see it be it.
Yeah. No, they don't need to. It's so important. It's one of the most important things.
But not in a sense of this grand gesture, this grand kind of inspiration, this grand kind of like, oh my God, you can like strive for the stars. It's just like, no. It's just normalize it.
Yeah, actually, just normalize that, man.
Normalize,
and that's
that.
All it is.
Yeah,
you're right to pick that film, and it's a great film. It's a super film in respect of uplifting.
Yeah, and on that, my final selection is actually one that literally just won a load of Oscars. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
See, I've got to watch that. I've not watched it yet.
You know, Michelle Yeoh became only the second woman of color to win the Best Actress award after Halle Berry.
Halle Berry, yeah.
It looks incredible. It's done incredibly well. It's written really well. Mm. It's acted brilliantly.
I'm gonna watch that because it's just come. I want me and Nance to watch that.
It's just one of those. It's like we were saying before with the good vibes music. It's just sometimes it doesn't matter if it's the most well-known tune of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It can still be that creatively feeling. Amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I felt like from that movie. I've watched it like three times now, and each time I feel like I enjoy it a little bit more, and I really enjoyed it the first
time.
There's
a lot going on around everybody. I love the fact that when you watch these films and they take you somewhere where it kind of grounds you again. And that's why I like going back and watching those films, because all it brings you back to is the morals and the principles of being a human being and empathy and all the love and all that stuff. And this is why these tunes and these films, they give me that. Mm-hmm. They all give me that. I love doing that.
I think that's a really nice place to leave it.
Should we leave it now?
Apologies if this was a little bit chaotic. It was like kind of hanging out, just sometimes playing some tunes, talking about movies.
Like, yeah, but you were cool in the chaos, like Thanos. You felt, look at you there in the chaos, just being cool.
I mean, I thrive in depression.
I was born in that, molded by it.
Mayawa Quadri, thank you very much for coming. Ryan Hunt, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks for having us, man.
Hey, man, I enjoyed that. That was really cool. Thanks very much, man. I hope you enjoyed that, guys. That was something that we're going to do more of that. And then we post a playlist and then just, you know, even throw in some ideas of what to do, because like I said, I like talking about that stuff. It takes you to another place, kind of almost escape for a bit. So we'll do that a bit more. But thanks again. We'll see you on Tuesday. Take it easy, man.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.